Compass Media Networks. This is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Not peaceful protest. Good morning. I'm Mike Gavin in for Gordon Deal along with Nicole Murray. It's Friday, May 3rd, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Hundreds more were arrested at college campuses as President Biden says that while he supports free speech, destroying property and causing chaos is not peaceful protest.
Jurors got an earful of former President Trump discussing the details of how he and his lawyer would buy the silence of a Playboy model before the 2016 election.
Arizona's governor signed a repeal of an 1864 ban on most abortions in the state.
And why rich people can't be counted on to spend money right now.
It seems as if a lot of the pullback or a lot of the challenges that the higher income demographic is facing is really concentrated around this aspirational shopper. So the just rich as opposed to the super rich, you know, that 5 or 10% versus the 1% of customer base that is very much so more insulated from macro challenges.
Sabrina Escobar of Barron's with more on how luxury brands are coping with fewer wealthy people spending money later in the hour. Police forcibly removed scores of defiant pro-Palestinian protesters at several colleges, including taking down an encampment at UCLA in the early morning hours. Los Angeles police said on social media that 210 people were arrested at UCLA and hundreds of arrests were made at other universities overnight and on Thursday. Students have rallied or set up tents at dozens of universities in recent days to protest Israel's war on Gaza. Demonstrations have called on President Joe Biden, who has supported Israel's right to defend itself, to do more to stop the bloodshed in Gaza and demanded schools divest from companies that support Israel's government. The president broke his silence and said that while he supports peaceful demonstrations, what's been happening on some campuses has gone too far.
There's the right to protest, but not the right to cause chaos. People have the right to get an education, the right to get a degree, the right to walk across the campus safely without fear of being attacked.
Portland was another hotspot for protests yesterday, where police say they arrested 30 people related to protests on the Portland State University campus. Jurors in the ongoing hush money trial of Donald Trump heard a recording of the former president discussing with his then lawyer and personal fixer a plan to purchase the silence of a Playboy model who has said she had an affair with the former president. Prosecutors played the September 2016 recording that attorney Michael Cohen secretly made of himself briefing his celebrity client on a plan to buy Karen McDougal's story of an extramarital relationship. Meanwhile, the lawyer who previously represented McDougal and porn star Stormy Daniels and testified that he believed their hush money deals may have helped Donald Trump win the 2016 presidential election. Keith Davidson discussed several texts he exchanged with the National Enquirer's top editor and McDougal's and Daniels' story ahead of the election. Trump has pleaded not guilty to the 34 felony counts and continued to be defiant.
Another day in the courthouse, which is bogus trial that every leading authority on law says should never have been brought.
Before the start of testimony, prosecutors requested $1,000 fines for each of four comments by Trump that they say violated a judge's gag order. The judge did not immediately rule. The captain of the dive boat, which caught fire and killed 34 people in 2019, has been sentenced to 4 years in prison. More from this morning's Dave Duncan.
Captain Jerry Boylan, now 70 years old, faced a maximum sentencing of 10 years in federal prison. Boylan was found guilty in 2023 of one count of misconduct or neglect of ship officer, also known as seaman's manslaughter, for one of the deadliest maritime disasters in recent U.S. history. The fatal fire happened in the early morning hours of September 2, 2019, while the boat was anchored about 22 miles southwest of Santa Barbara. A total number of 39 people were aboard the ship when it caught fire. Prosecutors said those who were asleep below deck were still alive and in need of assistance to escape. All 33 passengers and one crew member were killed, while Boylan and four other crew members escaped. Mike?
Thanks, Dave. In a brief statement read aloud in the Los Angeles court by his attorney before sentencing, Boylan said, "It was my goal to bring everyone home safely, and I failed."
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity for all businesses to reach their full potential. Visit MichiganBusiness.org/radio to discover all the ways the MEDC is helping Michigan thrive.
Gordon's off. I'm Mike Gavin. Thanks for making the time on this Friday. The Labor Department releases the April jobs report today. A preview now from Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark, anything stand out here?
The job market remains remarkably resilient, not as strong as perhaps what we've seen in recent years. Remember, the unemployment rate bottomed out at 3.4%. And recently it's been at 3.8, but we've continued to have an unemployment rate in this country below 4% for over 2 years. And that in and of itself is quite remarkable.
Is the job market in lockstep with inflation? Is that sort of what's happening here?
Not necessarily. I don't believe that the job market has been a primary cause of inflation. That was the supply chain mismatches that we saw coming out of the darkest days of the pandemic. But there was a mismatch of supply and demand of workers, which is slowly aligning themselves. They are getting into better alignment. And that is seen, for example, in the job openings report that we had from the Labor Department this week. This showed there are 1.3 job openings for every officially unemployed individual. That number of individuals put at more than 6 million of late. That ratio had been as high as 2 when we had 12 million job openings in this country about 2 years ago. So the things that are really continuing to cause inflation pressure are largely services outside of housing. And we sort of stopped the disinflation with goods that had been present late last year. And as Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell told us, at his news conference, the central bank is going to require more patience and time on the belief that inflation will continue to move closer to their 2% target. But we've not had that progress of late, and that's not making anybody feel good about that.
Now go back to that job openings ratio. Is that in any way ideal? Like, what do we want with that number?
Well, first of all, the good news, among other good news stories in the U.S. economy, is we've had a remarkable surge in availability of workers, and a big part of that has been immigration. The Congressional Budget Office released some figures a few months ago that surprised everybody in the economics world, talking about many more immigrants coming to the United States than previously had been believed. And that is the only way, primarily, that we're going to satisfy the need for workers in this country is through immigration, because we don't have the natural birth rate helping to accomplish that as obviously individuals enter the workforce. So to your question more specifically, we talked about that the ratio between job openings and unemployed individuals was as high as 2, and more recently is at 1.33 to be exact. I think probably you'd look for it to be at about 1-to-1 if it were to be sort of at a more optimal position. Of course, if one is searching for work, you want as many job openings as possible. But we also saw the unintended negative consequences of having too many job openings, let's say in 2021, 2022, when, let's say, you went to a restaurant or another comparable destination or a hotel, and, you know, they just weren't able to satisfy the demand for what they had, and that was because they didn't have the personnel. So that's, you know, having a high degree of job openings without the people to fill those positions is far from optimal from both a business operations standpoint and far from optimal for consumers as well.
All right. Thanks for the insight. As always, Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. 19 minutes now after the hour. Here's Nicole Murray.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Police have arrested hundreds of pro-Palestinian protesters at universities across the country. President Biden said violent demonstrations are not protected by law.
Protest. It's against the law. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest.
Students are calling for the U.S. to stop financially supporting Israel amid its war with Hamas.
Number two.
The captain of the dive boat that caught fire and killed 34 people in 2019 has been sentenced to 4 years in prison. Captain Jerry Boylan was found guilty last year of neglect of a ship officer, also known as seaman's manslaughter.
Number three.
The Houston area is facing life-threatening flood conditions as severe weather pummels parts of Texas. Texas judge Lena Hidalgo ordering a mandatory evacuation in high-risk areas.
We want you out of this area. We can't force anyone to do anything, but this is a life-threatening situation. We need you to listen to that message that we're giving.
Rain is expected to continue today with numerous flash flood warnings in effect. A portion of I-95 in Connecticut will remain closed until at least Monday after a tanker truck filled with gasoline crashed into a tractor trailer and burst into flames. Governor Ned Lamont.
My recommendation is if you can't stay home, take the train, stay away from the cars.
The highway's overpass will be demolished and repaved. Walgreens has limited sales of its wildly popular gummy mango peelable candy to one bag per customer after it went viral. The restriction, however, only occurs when the treat is purchased online. Usually when we hear from Taylor Swift, it is about new music or an upcoming concert. This time, it's about her boyfriend, Travis Kelce. After the NFL star's address was leaked online, Travis and Taylor have asked fans to stop sending packages to Kelce's home because he won't receive them. He told the post office to stop his mail deliveries.
You know, there are all kinds of reasons why it's, you know, a good thing to be dating Taylor Swift, right? You can name them as about, you know, 100 different good reasons, but it's also a pain in the butt, too, to be dating Taylor Swift and have to deal with this kind of stuff on an almost daily basis, right?
I'm dying to know what kind of things people are mailing him.
Yeah.
And like, really, you don't want it? Because he said that he doesn't even open them. He just sends it back to the sender.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea on his part to not be opening any of them at all because you have no idea what people are sending.
What if some of them are cool gifts?
Yeah, I'm not going to take that chance. He's got everything he needs. He's got Taylor Swift. He's got money. He doesn't need anything anyone's sending to him in the mail.
Lame.
Let me introduce the sports fans to Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. On Prize Picks, it's just you against the numbers. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Here come the NBA and NHL playoffs, plus MLS soccer is underway, right? So maybe on a single entry, you choose LeBron James for more than 23 points, Connor McDavid for less than 3 assists, and Lionel Messi for more than 1 goal. You can now win up to 100 times your money. With as little as 4 correct picks, you can turn $10 into $1,000. Download the app today and use code DEAL for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code DEAL on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app and use code DEAL for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Luxury retail brands have a problem in today's economy. The super rich keep spending, but the regular rich people are pulling back. More from our own Gordon Deal.
We're speaking with Sabrina Escobar, reporter at Barron's. Her story is called Luxury Brands Have a New Challenge. Ordinary rich people are pulling back. All right, so set that scene. What's going on here?
Yeah, so we found that luxury brands are seeing a bit of a slowdown in demand, right? So over the past couple of months, people who are wealthy and are able to spend, you know, a couple thousand dollars on a handbag or on luxury goods aren't spending that much money on them. And that's had an impact on the stocks of some of these companies, including LVMH, Kering, and other big conglomerates that have luxury brands. And so that's kind of led to a debate about, are we seeing a broader slowdown in spending from a higher income of consumers that so far had been fairly insulated from many of the macro challenges that people with lower incomes have been grappling with over the past 2 years. So certainly there's a debate raging on about this. And it seems as if a lot of the pullback or a lot of the challenges that the higher income demographic is facing is really concentrated around this aspirational shopper. So the just rich as opposed to the super rich, you know, that 5 or 10% versus the 1% of customer base that is very much so more insulated from macro challenges.
When does that aspirational shopper draw the line at something? They're like a once a year something that's when they'll go for like a $2,000 handbag or something like that, or more often? Or how do you define that person's, I don't know, wealth, if you would?
Yeah, it's a good question. And certainly there's no, you know, hard and true rule for this. McKinsey did a study on the aspirational shopper earlier this year. It was released in April, and they defined it as, somebody who buys at least one luxury item per year and spends between 3,000 euros or, $3,200 to about 10,000 euros on fashion annually. You would probably think of somebody who is a high earner, right? Perhaps not a billionaire or a multimillionaire, but, is fairly affluent, doesn't have to worry about day-to-day expenses, and maybe they're saving up for that purchase over the course of the year. Maybe they have their eyes set on it and they do their research. It's not that much of somebody who's just going to buy all of their wardrobe, perhaps, from a luxury brand, but certainly they like to partake in that luxury lifestyle and buy into that.
I see. We're speaking with Sabrina Escobar, reporter at Barron's. The story is called Luxury Brands Have a New Challenge. Ordinary Rich People Are Pulling Back. All right, so you referenced LVMH, Moet Hennessy, Louis Vuitton, right? The long title. Kering, which is the parent company of Gucci and Saint Laurent. Burberry's in your story. Prada, Hermes, Ferragamo. Like, are they all experiencing the same thing or are any of them above it?
Right. It's a good question. So I think certainly companies that have a bigger exposure or more of their customer base is that aspirational consumer seem to be struggling a bit more with sales than those that are more dependent on the ultra rich, right? The very wealthy 1% global shopper. And, I think Kering has had a rough go of it recently. They have a lot of very high-end brands, Certainly, it's they own Gucci and among other houses.
Sabrina Escobar of Barron's with the one and only Gordon Deal.
Hey, it's Gordon Deal, and if you're tired of eating the same meal, do what I did and try Factor. Factor brings you chef-crafted gourmet meals ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from over 35 weekly menu options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Factor's ready-to-eat meals mean no prep and no mess, using the most premium ingredients like truffle butter, shrimp, asparagus, broccolini, and filet mignon. Customize your plans to fit your life. Pause or adjust deliveries anytime. Head to factormeals.com/deal50 and use code DEAL50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. Plus, look for the badge to find your favorite low-carbon footprint meals. Again, code DEAL50 at factormeals.com/DEAL50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Factormeals.com/DEAL50 with code DEAL50. Factormeals.com/DEAL50.
34 minutes after the hour, Mike Gavin in for Gordon Deal along with Nicole Murray on this Friday, May 3rd. Here's some of the headlines and stories we're following for you. Hundreds more arrested on college campuses as anti-Israel protests continue. 4 years in prison for the boat captain that abandoned ship while a fire killed more than 30 people. Former President Trump says that a gag order is preventing him from testifying at his hush money trial. Legal experts all agree that is not the case. Arizona's governor signs the repeal of the Civil War era ban on nearly all abortions in the state. Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott will not face charges for alleged sexual assault back in 2017. A fiery tanker crash in Connecticut could close I-95 for days. Knicks and Pacers advance in the NBA playoffs. The Cavs and Mavericks look to move on tonight. And the high school that's teeming with twins. That story in about 20 minutes. Portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Dell Technologies and Intel are pushing what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. We've heard quite a bit about the bird flu this week with some alarming news coming from government officials about the virus's spread. And while it's not time to panic, Karen Weintraub of USA Today says there are some reasons to be concerned. She joins us now for more. Karen, take us through where we are right now with the bird flu.
Right. So bird flu is in dairy cattle, and that is a weird thing. So birds obviously have had bird flu for a while. Bird flu is called that because it's mostly in birds, has been since 1997. There have been a few isolated cases in people who have caught it from birds. And it's been quite deadly. When we've known about it, it's been quite deadly. So that's why it's scary. It has not, and it's spread to a number of animals, especially recently around the world. There was a bottlenose dolphin that caught it. And again, now since February, it's been seen in dairy cattle in the U.S. And the concern there is that, A, these are mammals, B, they're not usually, cows are not usually susceptible to this kind of flu. So it's a little strange. It seems to be passing in milk also, which is weird. Some cats on the farms caught it, we think, from the milk. And other cows are catching it presumably from contaminated milking machinery. So, again, a strange route of passage. The concern really is not from the current infections, but that the virus might continue to mutate and become contagious person to person. That's what we're really worried about, the flu becoming a potentially dangerous flu becoming contagious person to person. And you and I, even though we may have gotten the flu in the past and gotten our annual flu shot, we've never seen this strain of flu before. And so we're very vulnerable to it. And if it becomes contagious person to person, we could become quite sick from it. That's the real concern.
Right. And also, we don't know exactly where it's spread to at this point. Is that correct?
So it seems to be contained at the moment on these farms. It's the farm workers at the moment, the people who go on these farms, who are the center of the concern at the moment. Some of them, at least one, has gotten conjunctivitis, an eye infection, presumably from touching these milking machines and then touching his eye. There's been rumors that more might have gotten it. None has been confirmed. But yes, the concern is that a farm worker is going to catch it and pass it on to other people potentially.
We're speaking with Karen Weintraub, health reporter at USA Today, about reasons to be concerned but not freak out about the bird flu. Now, there are vaccines and antivirals to help combat this, but there is a catch to that, too. Why don't you explain that?
Right. So there are potential vaccines. There are antivirals that work. It's getting these drugs out there to enough people. That's the real concern. Out fast enough, and will they be effective? So the flu changes very, very quickly. As you know, you have to get a new flu shot every year. We've had COVID shots that have changed every year. The flu virus changes even faster than COVID does. So if we design a flu virus today, the virus itself is going to have transformed within 6-8 months by the time we get a shot that's available. And so just staying ahead of the virus could be really difficult. Tamiflu, which is available today, does seem to protect. The antiviral does seem to protect against this against avian flu, but you need to take it within the first 24 to 48 hours of symptoms. I don't know about you. I have allergies this time of year. Would I know that the sniffles that I have are allergies versus the first signs of flu?
Yeah.
Probably not. Would I get to the doctor fast enough? Would I get the prescription and get to the pharmacy fast enough to take it within the first 48 hours? That's going to be tricky for a lot of people.
Right. The good news is, though, the food supply is most likely safe. Explain why that is.
Yeah, that seems to be the good spot here, yes. So the FDA has tested both liquid milk and products made from milk. They did find there was some concern because they found evidence of H5N1, this flu strain, in the milk supply, but it was dead virus. They tried to grow virus from to grow live virus from the particles they found in the milk supply. They could not. So it was dead virus. So pasteurized milk and milk products are safe, which is why you should not drink raw milk. Do not drink from the cow or directly from the farm. Drink pasteurized, commercially available milk.
All right. Thanks for the advice, Karen. Karen Weintraub, health reporter at USA Today.
As a business owner, you have necessary expenses, but some quick math might reveal that you're spending on items that are narrowing your profit margin. Get a smarter business plan with NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system. You have access to accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR all in one platform. With NetSuite, everything can be accessed in the cloud from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems, and you improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how your company can benefit from NetSuite. Visit netsuite.com/Gordon. NetSuite has proven ways to cut costs and boost performance. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. NetSuite.com/Gordon. That's NetSuite.com/Gordon.
Well, you know, whether it's your computer, your phone, a train, a plane, or your automobile, the number one way to fix tech problems hasn't changed since Y2K. Try turning it off and then turn it on again. To find out why, we're joined by Cordelia James, personal tech reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Cordelia, take us through why a reboot is still the first thing we're told to do when our tech gets a little glitchy.
Yeah, so reboots are a pretty easy and painless way to fix a number of software issues that might be going wrong with your device. So essentially the way it works is it clears your device's RAM, which is the short-term memory storage, and allows those different apps that might be ridden with bugs and things to start from like a clean slate.
So what does turning a device off and on kind of actually accomplish?
So it can fix all kinds of issues with your device. So let's say that you have like a lagging screen, or maybe like apps are like crashing, or just you're not able to use your device properly. Doing this kind of easy troubleshooting fix can resolve those issues. So maybe start there before you start, picking apart your device or all these other little wonky strategies to fix things.
And it's the IT people that are going to be the first ones to tell you to reboot before they even try anything, right?
Yes, exactly. And so one of the people that I spoke to, who was a senior technology manager at a company, he told me how often he gets so many tickets from people that could have been easily resolved with a reboot. So you can kind of save your time if you try that yourself before taking it up to them.
We're speaking with Cordelia James, personal tech reporter at the Wall Street Journal, talking about why turning it off and turning it back on is gadget fixing magic. Cordelia, it's not just computers and smartphones that work better after a reboot, is it?
No, it's not. So with a lot of different kinds of technology, they still run on software, and so when you look at things such as like cars or even planes, trains, automobiles, all of them can also benefit from this easy fix.
So, for example, even whole planes sometimes need a reboot, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, exactly. Like someone that I spoke to mentioned how he had just settled into his flight when the crew had announced that, oh, we need to turn the plane off and on again to fix a troubleshooting issue. And it worked. Like not too long after, he was able to get back in and head on his way.
And there was somebody, I guess, who bought a new car or I guess a used car, and the screen was stuck when he turned it on. So again, he realized just kind of turning it off and turning it on was going to be a way to fix it. Something he's been doing since the early 2000s.
Yeah, exactly. So especially now that we're seeing more and more of these cars that have, digital interfaces for the dashboard or what have you. That was something that the other person I spoke to dealt with, where he would turn his car on and the screen the screen that shows like the speedometer and everything wouldn't show up. And so in a panic, he was just like, okay, like I can't find a solution anywhere online. Let me just try this age old trick. And it worked. It was functioning again after that.
Unfortunately, not all issues can be solved with a reboot though, right?
Yes. Not everything can be solved with a reboot. So if you're dealing with issues that aren't related to your system's RAM, for example, like let's say like corrupted files on your computer's hard drive, you would need to go through and delete those manually. So that's why sometimes another piece of advice people might say is like, clear your cache and see what happens.
Thanks, Cordelia. Cordelia James, personal tech reporter at the Wall Street Journal.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Gordon off on this Friday. I'm Mike Gavin. Make sure you're up to date on all we're doing online. Catch up on segments from the show that you might have missed or want to hear again, or see our latest videos. If you haven't checked in a while, you're missing a lot. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram and on the X platform at This Morning Show. 8 minutes now in front of the hour. Here's Nicole Murray.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs has signed a bill to repeal the 1864 law that bans nearly all abortions.
Arizona women are still governed by a ban that leaves no exceptions for rape or incest, nor does it account for complications during pregnancy.
The repeal, however, may not take effect until 90 days after the end of the legislative session in June or July.
Number two.
Jurors in the hush money trial of Donald Trump have heard a recording of the former president discussing a plan to buy the silence of Playboy model Karen McDougal with his previous lawyer, Michael Cohen. Trump after court.
Another day in the courthouse, which is bogus trial that every leading authority on law says is, should never have been brought.
Trump has pleaded not guilty to 34 felony counts of falsifying business records.
Number three.
A Pennsylvania nurse connected to the deaths of 17 patients who were given fatal doses of insulin has been sentenced to life in prison. Heather Presdy pleaded guilty to first-degree murder and criminal attempt to commit murder. At least 15 police training vehicles have been destroyed after being set on fire at the Portland Police Bureau training facility. Officials have not revealed who is responsible for the arson. No injuries were reported and the building was not damaged. Jill Biden has paid tribute to teachers by hosting the National and State Teachers of the Year dinner at the White House to honor their commitment to students. The 2024 National Teacher of the Year, Missy Testerman from Tennessee.
We make democracy possible, both by educating the generation in front of us, but we also make all professions, every single one of them, possible.
7-Eleven and Tetris have teamed up for a collaboration in honor of the game's 40th anniversary next year, and it is about to beat everyone's high score. The joint effort features apparel and a $30 Slurpee-shaped handheld gaming device to play the 1985 classic. We are still waiting on an official release date.
I feel like they are making things just for me now, because in the late 80s, there's a few things I would have preferred to do than to be playing Tetris and drinking a Slurpee at the same time. That is pretty much a perfect summer afternoon in the late 80s, as far as I was concerned.
Do you recall your highest score with Tetris?
No, it was not great, but I kept on playing. I don't think my hand-eye coordination is quite up to the challenge, but I tried my best to make it work.
Back in the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? It's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org/radio.
A senior class at a Pennsylvania high school has had double the fun the past 4 years. According to the school's principal, the graduating class of 2024 at Norwin High School in Irwin includes 11 sets of twins. The class has just over 400 students, which means twins make up 5% of the graduating class. One student said she realized the phenomenon her sophomore year when she had 5 sets of twins in her gym class. The twins in Norwin High's senior class include a mix of fraternal and identical twins who contribute across the school. The principal says there are 2 sets of twins who are especially hard to tell apart, proving the occasional challenge for teachers and administrators. And at Norwin High's graduation ceremony in 3 weeks, all 11 sets of twins will have one last chance to experience a milestone together. That'll do it for this hour. For Nicole Murray, I'm Mike Gavin. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.